Get your Bibles, turn to Nehemiah, and stand with me, please. If you can't find Nehemiah, get to all the first and seconds of the Old Testament. Samuel, King, Chronicles. Then you'll go to a little bitty place called Ezra, and then right next door is Nehemiah. Would you stand with me, please? Nehemiah chapter 2. And I want you to see two or three verses singled out in the chapters here. Look, please, in verse number 2 of Nehemiah 2. The Bible said, "Wherefore the king saith unto me, Why is thy countenance sad, seeing that thou art not sick? This is nothing but nothing else but what? Sorrow of heart." All right, we'll pick it up again. Look in verse 11. The Bible said, "So I came to Jerusalem, and there I was there 3 days. I rose in the night." Notice the word night. And the Bible said, "I and some few men that were with me, neither told I any man what my God," what's the next phrase, "had put in my heart." Remember those phrases? The king noticed that he had sorrow of heart. Then he had something in his heart he wouldn't tell any man. So Nehemiah had something going on. Can I tell all of us tonight, we need to have something secret in our heart for God. Something that moves us, something that motivates us, something that keeps us going. I'd have quit a long time ago if I didn't have something in my heart. Yes. Nehemiah had something big. You're going to find out in a minute what it was. The Bible said to do at Jerusalem, "Neither was there any beast," that's a horse, "with me, save the beast that I rode upon." Now go, if you will, please, over to verse number 15. We'll just look at the first phrase of the verse. The Bible said, "Then when I up," when? In the night. He was in Jerusalem at the nighttime on a horse. And I've entitled this message, "The Midnight Horseman." Let's bow our heads, please. Father, bless, I pray. Use the message. Help us, Lord, to get a new vision tonight on a Monday night. Lord, help us in this revival time. Speak to the hearts of Christians, Lord, from wall to wall tonight. Help us. Thank you for these wonderful pastors that are here. Busiest men on the face of the earth are preachers and men of God. And I pray, Lord, you bless them for being here. Bless their churches, every one of them. It means so much to all of us. It encourages us that they're here. Bless every visitor that's here tonight. Speak to every heart, church member alike. I pray in Jesus' name. Amen. You can be seated. The Midnight Horseman. I want to say, as a theme of the message, whatever the devil destroys and whatever man destroys, God can rebuild. He can rebuild it. He can put it back together again. I don't care how bleak, how tough. Well, when you watch the news today, when you've been watching the news for the last several weeks, my wife will look at me and she said, "It scares me." I said, "Turn it off. Turn it off. We're listening to the wrong voice." Amen. We need an encouraging voice. We need the Lord's voice. We need the Bible voice. We need the Holy Spirit voice in our life. And we're looking in this chapter, in this sermon tonight, we're looking at the ruins at midnight of Jerusalem. Of Jerusalem. My text presents Jerusalem in ruins. But Nehemiah was there alone at midnight with just a few people with him. He was on a horse. What did he see from the horseback? What did he see from the ruins? He saw a tore down tower. Gates were tore down. The walls, the entire city walls of Jerusalem were destroyed. Everything that he saw was torn down. Nehemiah was on horseback at midnight looking at all these ruins. Why did he risk his safety? Why did he risk being there by himself? Because he had a secret in his heart. He had something that he wouldn't tell anybody. And he wanted to fulfill what God had put on his heart. You read chapter 1 when you go home tonight. It shows how he repented. It shows how he confessed the sins of Israel. It shows how he confessed the sins of his hometown, Jerusalem. And there he is with a broken heart, a secret in his heart. And he moves in this way and that way and in this gate and out this gate and winding through the debris of the once great city called Jerusalem, now laying in waste. Tumbled masonry, charred timbers, all of them in the moonlight at midnight. All of them at the dark time. Heavy-hearted, Nehemiah rides in and out of his own homeland, of his own hometown. Can you imagine what he must have felt? As he heard about it, now he gets to see burned, great heaps of stone, battered buildings. What was he thinking of in his sorrow? Still at midnight, the exploration continues. He rides through the fish gate, the Bible says. He rides by the Tower of the Furnaces, the Bible says. He rides by the King's Pool and the Dragon Well and many other places. He goes by them all on horseback until midnight. That midnight ride was complete. Then he dismounts his horse. Confounded and amazed, he declares what was on his heart. He looks at the men that were with him, around him. In chapter 2 and verse 17, he said, "Come now, let us build Jerusalem." That's what was in his heart. What was in his heart was that the city was in waste. He had no money. He was no kingly authority. He had no eloquence. But from the midnight moonlight ride of Nehemiah on a horseback, it resulted in wonderful things that I want to talk about. At least three great wonderful things that happened to the city of Jerusalem. The people didn't know how he's going to go about it. Didn't know how it was going to get done. Some cried out with him, "Let us rise and build the city." You see, it only takes a little vision for somebody to get that spark. It only takes a little bit of excitement for God for somebody else to say, "Hey, I'm with him. I'm with her. I want to do it too. I want to be a part of it too." So one person goes soul winning, somebody else might want to go with them. One person gets back on the bus route, somebody else might say, "Let me on the bus route too." But you got to go. You got to get up and you got to make it work. And you got to go and do what God tells you to do. Some laughed. Some said, "It can't be done. It's all right there in the scripture." Some of the people said, as they were infuriated, they offered physical violence. Others did nothing at all. Others said, "Don't do it." But the workmen decided to get busy, standing on a wall, what the Bible said, with a trowel in one hand and a sword in another, they began to work. And at the end of 52 days, can you believe it? Only 52 days. We've been in this pandemic since March. Twice as long as it took to build Jerusalem back. Are you listening to me? In comparison, my friend, these people took a serious thing and they began to rebuild. And 52 days later, they built the wall. Even though they were under great opposition, even though everybody said it couldn't be done. I can just hear their politicians now. Amen. I can hear everybody around them say, "Hey, what are you doing? What are you up on that wall for? Why? Why are you doing this?" I'll tell you why. It was a midnight ride of prayer. It was a midnight ride of courage. It was a midnight ride of homesickness that decided in the heart of one man, Nehemiah, who said, "I want to go rebuild my homeland. I want to go rebuild." What if Nehemiah hadn't have done that? I believe God used Nehemiah. And from the broken heart of one man, three wonderful things happened. You still with me? Say amen. Number one, it led this horse night, this midnight horse ride, led, number one, to Israel's restoration of the temple worship. They had quit worshiping God. They had quit singing. They quit praising God. Nehemiah knew about it. You read chapter 12, it'll make your heart jump within you. You read chapter 12, it'll make you shout yourself. Oh, they begin to sing praises again. They begin to worship God like they were commanded of God to do there in the Old Testament. But why was Nehemiah risking his life at night? Why was he exposing his life? Why was Israel out there, some of them watching him in the nighttime? He tells the whole story. It goes something like this. In chapter 1, he reveals in the last verse he was the cupbearer of King Artaxerxes, king of Persia. He was his cupbearer. One day he came into the presence of King Artaxerxes, and the king said, "What's wrong with you? Are you sick?" Those were his words. "Are you sick? Why are you downcast? Why? What's wrong with you? I haven't seen you this way." He said, "Don't you know Jerusalem has fallen? Don't you know the walls are torn to pieces? My father's own grave has been desecrated and torn down." He said, "If you'll allow me, I want to tell you what's on my heart. I'd like for you to let me go from being your cupbearer. I'm so afraid." You read it. He said, "I'm afraid to tell you, King, for what you might do to me. But," he said, "I want to go, and I want to put my father's grave back where it was. I want to rebuild the walls, and I want to put worship back in the temple again." The Bible said he wept sorely, and he cried, and he fasted, and he prayed before he spoke to the king. Before he went to the king, he went to God. And he said, "Oh God, please forgive me. Oh God, please forgive Israel. God, please forgive Jerusalem. And if you'll use me, I'm not a king. I'm just one man. But if you'll use me, we'll put those walls back up. And we'll..." And by the way, haven't you seen in recent weeks the graves of America being desecrated all over this country? I'm getting sick and tired of somebody going out and putting all kinds of graffiti on war veterans' grave sites and dumping them over and throwing paint all over them. God help us in this country. Nehemiah saw the same thing. Graves were desecrated. The temple was shut down. People couldn't worship God anymore. The towers were torn to pieces. But from the ruin of a midnight ride, something came alive again. You see, Jerusalem was sacred to Nehemiah, and Jerusalem was sacred to Israel. What Jerusalem was to Nehemiah, church is to us. Amen. I don't know about you, but I didn't like sitting in a car going to church. Say amen right there. I didn't like preachers preaching from a platform somewhere. Although our early days, we preached on the side of the road in brush arbors. Amen. That's okay. But hey, we had these nice buildings vacant. It was blasphemy to me. Blasphemy! Our people got used to not coming to church. And all of these evil scientists and wicked politicians got their way. And it didn't just shut down here in America. It shut down around the world. Missionaries were riding home if they could get back to their home, to their mission field. Some of them stuck in airports. Some of them stuck in cities they had never been in before, trying to get back, but they couldn't. And the world lay waste spiritually. I'm here to tell you, my friend, it's time that you and I had some secrets in our heart exposed for Christ. What's down deep in your heart? Do you long to teach in a Sunday school? Do you long to get a New Testament in your hand and go out soul winning? Do you long to fill up these rooms again in your church? Some of us need to dismount that horse, get our feet out of the stirrups, fall on our knees and say, "Oh God, help us rebuild what's been torn to pieces. Help us bring back what used to be holy." Let the world quit shouting, but you let God's people get back to shouting again. Let the world's people burn Bibles like they did in Portland, but let God's people hold them high, hold that holy Bible, and say, "Oh God, help us to get back again to what we used to do." Give me church on Sunday morning. Give me church on Sunday night. Give me church on Wednesday night midweek service. Give me church anytime, and I'll feel just fine. Let the poor come and the rich alike. Let the learned and unlearned come. When they hear the message of God's man, it just seems like everything will be just fine. Everything will be just fine. It's worked that way century after century, decade after decade, Sunday after Sunday. We need to get back to it again. If anything comes out of this revival, I want you to understand, night by night, service by service, there ought to be a moistened tear again. There ought to be a beating of our heart again. There ought to be an excitement in our hearts and minds again to get back to church again. Amen. If Israel need to open up, so does America. I said, so does America. Let the politicians lay this nation in waste, but you let God's people get back again. Let God's people build it back again. We're going to build it through our churches. God help us to build missionaries again. God help us to have full-time service rendered again. We don't need to be dead. We don't need to be lifeless. It used to be in Bible colleges, they'd line up for a block down the street trying to enroll into college. They're not lining up anymore. It hadn't happened in years. This generation is becoming dead. We're more concerned about money and apparel and merchandise. The Bible's way down the line. The will of God is way down the line. I'm here to tell you there's a secret in your heart. And you'll either answer to it down here or up there. You'll either surrender down here or up there someday. You might as well just go ahead and tell God, Lord, this is my secret in my heart. You put it there. I was 17 years of age when God began to wring my heart out. Before it was over with in a revival just like this, I walked the aisle at this location of the pulpit. I wept my way into the ministry. I said, Lord, if you'll use me, I want to be an evangelist. I'm going to surrender to the call. I didn't have a church to go to. Who was I going to preach for? I didn't come out of Hollywood. I didn't come off of a sports field. I wasn't a popular guy. I'm the son of a boilermaker. I wasn't from a preacher's home. But God laid something right there in my heart. 45 years later, I'm still preaching the gospel. 45 years later, I'm still holding tent revivals. 45 years later, we're still having camps there in West Virginia. You hear me? It's not time to die. It's not time to sit down. It's not time to back up. It's not time to get out of the ministry. It's time to get in the ministry. What's it going to take? We're so consumed with our lifestyle. We're so selfish. We can't hear the Macedonian call anymore. We can't hear the songs of Zion anymore. It takes an act of Congress and a Supreme Court intervention to get an amen out of people anymore. We can't get a holy grunt anymore. We can't get a song lifted from your voice anymore. What's happened to us? It's time to take the muzzle off. It's time for you and I to say, praise God from whom all blessings flow. The same God that was in the heart of Nehemiah and the same God that helped him rebuild the walls. The same God that helped him do it in 52 days is the same God that rests in our hearts and lives and in our breasts. That God's not dead. The world would like to say he's dead. And the liberals are coming after our churches. Lester Roloff used to say about his ministry, my ministry today, your church tomorrow. He wasn't too far off the mark. Amen. Now, we haven't been persecuted in this country. But we're persecuting ourselves by silencing our songs and our sermons. Let's get back to writing books again. Let's get back to writing songs again. Let's get back to hearing the secret in our hearts from God. Well, the first point is that midnight ride led to the restoration of the worship of the temple. Second of all, you still with me? Say amen. Amen. That midnight ride also led to the reconstruction of the ruins. The reconstruction of the ruins. Why wasn't Israel asleep? Why wasn't the horses or his horse put in the stable? Why were they riding around in and out of the gates and through the ruins? Why? The reason came from his own lips, repeated by those around him. We're here to rebuild those walls again. And God, if you'll help us, we're not going to stop until it's done. We're not going to quit. We don't care. Hell or high water, mud or blood, sleet or snow, sink or swim. I don't care who gets in our way. We're going to rebuild these walls. By the grace of God, we're going back to church again. By the grace of God, we're not going to desecrate what's godly anymore. By the grace of God, we're going to get back to God's business again. These are God's people. This is a holy place. Let's get back to what we need to do again. We need to explore the ruins of our own heart. You know why people remain lost? Ruin in their heart. You know why people stay backslidden long periods of time, sometimes until the rest of their life is expired? You know why they're backslidden? Because of ruin in their heart. They've let the world and the devil and the flesh destroy them. Professed Christians live in sin because of the ruins in their own hearts. They haven't found out what the Bible says, and this is a powerful verse. The Bible said the heart is deceitful above and desperately wicked. The Bible said above all things, who can know it? We need to remember, my friend, that we can't control this heart ourselves. We have to let God do it. Isn't it amazing? As soon as Nehemiah got right and God was leading him, things begin to happen. But as long as we're selfish and worldly and fleshly, it's not going to get done. Get rid of your wrong friends. Amen. I've watched more destruction from young people on these chat rooms than I ever want to see again. I've watched marriages being thrown away from chat rooms. We don't need this new social media. What's it led us to? Riots in the street. Yeah. You let your preacher say the wrong thing and they'll get on the social media and they'll show up at your church door. All because of the palm of the phone in the palm of your hand. We need to make sure that our network is about God. Amen. They rebuilt Jerusalem with a midnight conviction. Tired of the ruin. Foundations that were blown down. Tired of the hurt that was destroying the people that were around them. Stop your horse. Get off that horse. Kneel down before God and say, God, with your help, I want to make a difference. When's the last time you spent time asking God, what's next, Lord? What's next? What's next? The acknowledgement of ruin was everywhere. Only one thing had to happen. Let it just be destroyed or rebuild. Rebuild! And I want to say, my friend, if there's no repentance in your life, you're still in sin. You're still in ruin. Still in ruin. Redemption comes by repentance. Hear me very carefully, my friend. The sick need a physician, and so do we. We need the great physician. Oh, there's a pandemic, they say. I call it a plandemic. There's more under the table than there is on top of the table. There's more schemes about this thing than you can ever want to ever remember. And it's evil. This one world government's trying to take over. I don't have time to go into all of that, but just mark it. Just sit down someday and mark what's happened since March. Write it down. It doesn't have to come from the lips of a preacher. We're headed the wrong way. America's a great nation because America has a great God. But if we throw that Bible away, we'll be just like any other nation. And that's what they're trying to do, from the courthouse to the church house. They're trying to get rid of this Bible. They're trying to get rid of the acknowledgement of Christ. Amen. Now they're saying Jesus is a racist. Don't you listen to this bunch of mush for brains. Amen. You say, boy, you're getting riled up. It ought to be God's people get a little bit riled up nowadays. I'm tired of them stealing our thunder, stealing our love for Christ. Where are our tears again? Where's our shout again? Walking around like our heads in the sand. God didn't make you an ostrich. He wants you to get up and fly like the, and soar like the eagles. Amen.
Amen.
Let me give you my third point tonight. You still with me? Say amen.
Amen.
So what happened from the midnight ride to that horseback was they restored the temple worship. They reconstructed the ruins. And number three, and this is the best part, they let the it led them to having the removal of sadness to triumph. All the sadness began to fade away. By the end of Nehemiah's chapters, you'll find them shouting and praising God and loving the Lord. If there was any man that could have been downtrodden, it would have been Nehemiah. If there was any man that had a reason to live in depression, it was Nehemiah. If it was any man that could have quit and been justified, but listen to me, God took him from being a cupbearer in the palace of a king to a rebuilder of a wall of the place where God dwelt.
Amen.
I'd rather be where God dwells than where a king dwells any day.
Amen.
Amen. We're listening to all of these high-powered, rich politicians. We need to start listening to the pulpit again.
Amen.
You need to start hanging on to what the preacher's got to say. Get your answers from your knees in prayer. Amen. Nehemiah said, my father's grave is torn up. The temple is dishonored. The walls have been broken. I don't have any money to rebuild. What did he do? Did he say, woe is me? Or I wished I was dead? No. Though he had grief and sorrow, though he was penniless, still by nightfall on horseback, he chooses triumph over sorrow. And he says, I'm not going to be downcast any longer. I'm going to hold my head up. Amen. I'm going to walk with God on my side. If I don't have an army, I've got God.
Amen.
At least he had the king's blessing. The king and the queen, the same day she was right beside him, sanctioned what he was going to do. Don't tell me God can't answer your prayer. Don't tell me God can't have others interested in what you're doing. He was all alone. Nobody else wanted to rebuild it, Jerusalem. Oh, I'm sure everybody wished it could be. But nothing gets done by just wishing. You got to put your feet to your prayers. You got to get busy for God. There never was a missionary who got on the field by just saying, well, I wished I could. You've got a missionary lady going out from his church. Been on the deputation how long now? 3 years. And she said she finished it. Is that right? Finished her deputation, a single lady, and nothing has stopped her from wanting to go to the mission field. You know why? God called her, not you, not me. God called her. You can't convince her any otherwise. And that's what we need in this room. All of us. I don't care how young we are. I don't care how old we are. We can all be used of God some way. God can use you in ways he'll never use me. I don't care if you're a preacher or a layman. God can use you. He can do things that you would never even imagine. He could do it for you. Listen to me, my friend. When trouble comes, oftentimes we do the opposite of godly behavior. We never smile. We fall in sin. We go back to ruin. But when trouble comes, it's not sent to us to crush us. It's sent to us, my friend, to make us better, to propel us into better. God wants us to do better things. A carpenter never sets a board until he measures it and cuts it and nails it down or screws it down or glues it down. It's not put in place until it's ready, and we need people to get ready. Get ready. Get ready for God to use you. Young people, quit thinking about your job. Hear me out just a minute. It's not wrong to make money. Don't get me wrong. And not everybody's called to preach or go to the mission field. Not everybody is. But the question is, are you willing? Have you prayed about it? Have you given him an opportunity? You give your job an opportunity. You're so young and you're unmarried. Why don't you say, Lord, how about a semester of Bible college? Maybe God will twist your heart a little bit and maybe you'll find out that's been way down deep in your heart all along. You say, well, my family don't understand. Listen, I left my family after my senior year of high school. I haven't been back since. My daddy died. I've only spent just a little time with daddy. The miles separate me from West Virginia to Texas. And I'm a gypsy. I've been a gypsy for 45 years. I travel all the time, everywhere, in and out of places all the time. I wish I could be home. I called my mother on the way here and said, Mom, I love you. Pray for our revival. She prays for all my meetings. Prays every night I'm preaching. I told her about the man getting saved. Oh, she rejoiced about it. She feels like it's a personal answer to prayer. I'm not going to tell her any different. Are you? We need people again that can be used in prayer. People again, young people that will say, Lord, what do you want me to do? Can you use me? Can you put me somewhere? You may have to be alone. Nehemiah had that secret in his heart by himself. He told the king, but he didn't tell anybody else. And he told God. And he didn't tell anybody else until he got down off that horse. Now, why don't you get around your Jerusalem? Go in and out of the ruins of your heart. Go in and out of the ruins of the place where God might call you. And let God lay some huge burden on your heart to do something big for him. Listen to me, my friend. Nehemiah took the brokenhearted people of Jerusalem and built it back for God. You say, is that true all the time? Most of the time, God takes something that's broken and he fixes it to use it. Paul was whipped, betrayed, shipwrecked, imprisoned, but it went right on. It went right on. I'm telling you, my friend, when you're crying and drowning in your tears, don't quit. When your property is lost by poverty, don't quit. And there's all kinds of that going on right now by the millions. By the millions. When flowers cover a loved one's grave, not time to quit. God can take care of the bereavement. You hear me? God is not dead. God is not dead. When the house is lonely and the children are gone, don't give up. Don't give up. If you've sinned, if you've lost friends, if you've lost family, don't quit church. Don't quit your Bible. Don't quit coming to the altar. Keep getting something from God. In the time of this so-called pandemic, you make sure God comes first. You're obeying all the mandates. Why don't you obey God? Why don't you obey God? If everything is marked in your life with nothing but sad memories, don't give up. If your heart is broken, if the grave has been desecrated, the wall has fallen, find courage, find hope, find enthusiasm that God could take you to help a Jerusalem be rebuilt again. Find God in your midnight. Find God in your deep valley. Put your sin and your sorrow in the warm heart of God in Christ. He's our refuge, you know. He understands we're beneath his everlasting arms. I got this from a dear friend, and it goes something like this. The print is very small, so bear with me here. You're not what you are when things go your way, but you are what you are, and wearing a conqueror's crown, but you are what you are, not exalted in praise, but you are what you are while you're down. You're not what you are when you're lauded by men and achievements lauded and hailed, but you're not what you are when success is your lot, but you are what you are when you failed. You're not what you are on Boulevard Wide, but you are what you are in the alley. You're not what you are on Everest Heights, but you are what you are in the valley. You're not what you are when soft winds blow, but you are what you are in the gale. You're not what you are on mountain peaks high, but you are what you are in the vale. You know what you are because riches abound. Don't tell me how much you can take. That you make. Just when the battle starts and enemies come, then show me how much you can take. You're not what you are when you start the race, or whether or not you air quit, but you're not what you are because the talent and charm, but the measure is courage and grit. You're not what you are when the truce is enjoyed and peace is climbed to the heights, but you are what you are when the battle begins because you are what you are in the fight. You know what you are when all goeth well and everything goeth by form. But you are what you are when wintertime comes, for you are what you are in the storm. So hang right in there when the going gets tough. Don't waver, don't falter, don't bend, because you're not what you are when the race begins, but you are what you are in the end. Shall we stand, please? That's my cornbread and beans tonight. I don't have any fancy words. I just have a burden in my heart. It comes from the secret of my heart. It's been spewing out for 45 years. All I'm asking you to do tonight, I'm pleading with all of us tonight, is don't die as it were on the vine. Get a renewed vision for Christ. Let's don't let anything go to waste. Let's rebuild again. Things that lie dormant. Things that have a spiritual tombstone epitaph on it. Let's don't let it die. Let's bring it back again. You used to sing, sing again. You used to shout, shout again. You used to teach, teach again. You used to preach, preach again. And if you haven't, but that secret place is still screaming in your heart, give it to God. I challenge you, you'll have no regrets. Not one regret. Our heads are bowed and eyes are closed. Are you listening? Shake your head. Yes. Let me ask you to do three things tonight. Three things. Number one, I want you to ask God to help you to check your heart of ruin. How many would say tonight, Brother Taylor, if there's ruin in my heart, I need to get it right so God can renew my heart and rebuild my heart back the way it needs to be? My hand is raised. How about yours? Yes. Amen. God bless you. How many would say, I want to let God rebuild my life? The things in my life that I've let be destroyed, I want to get it back for Christ. My life needs to count for Christ every second, every day, all my life. My hand is raised. How about yours? Yes, and God bless you. And how many would say tonight, I want to let God give me the victory over my sorrows and my sadness. I need to be happy again. I need to sing again. Pray for me that I could be happy instead of sad serving the Lord. My hand is raised. How about yours? Yes, and God bless you. In just a minute, the pastor's going to come. The music will play in a minute. But when everything starts, it's called the invitation. If you raise your hand in a minute, don't stay where you are. Have your midnight ride to the altar tonight. And you tell God what's in the secret place of your heart. If you're not saved tonight, do what the pastor said. Come down here and just let somebody show you how to go to heaven. No need to go to hell when so many people are praying for you and care for you. Amen, Pastor.